Bernadette Russell. Welcome to the second episode of my podcast series, How to Be Hopeful. As the title might suggest, this series is all about hope, how we can find hope when we've lost it, how we can have fun doing so, how we can nurture hope, harness the power of hope, and how to keep hold of it once we've found it. Now, I'm recording at the moment from isolation in Deptford in southeast London during the COVID pandemic. And although the podcast is not about COVID, I was planning on doing it anyway when all of this happened. In a strange way, this extraordinary time that we're all going through has made us focus on those things like kindness, community, compassion and hope. So it feels like very good timing to have these conversations. This week's all about helping people and how helping people can make you feel more hopeful and happier. Now this week I did manage to help people a little bit. I did a few bits and pieces from my isolation. I had some pavement chalk, so I chalked Happy Easter and drew some flowers on the paving stones outside my house and some positive messages. I posted bunny-shaped Easter cards to all of my neighbours, 5 doors either side. I left some chocolate and thank you notes for the posties in the bin mum. Just trying to think of little things that I could do to help people. And that, as I said, is what this episode's all about. It's also about how helping people and practicing compassion and doing acts of kindness can make you feel hopeful and happier. Helping people most definitely makes us feel better. And one of the things I hope we keep hold of from this time is the knowledge of how amazing we do feel when we help each other out. They call it the helper's high. And I'm sure that loads of people who have experienced this wonderful sense of purpose and buzz will want to and to be able to keep it up, because being kind to others is a way of being kind to yourself, if you see it like that. But of course, you don't have to take my word for it. You can try it yourself and see. You've most probably been doing it anyway, so you'll know how good it does feel. A neuroscience has demonstrated that giving is a powerful pathway for creating more personal happiness. Helping others triggers all sorts of exciting things in our brains. When we help others, they release oxytocin, serotonin and dopamine, a powerful threesome that basically make us feel really good. So doing good literally makes us feel good. And the feeling good bit is encouraging and makes us want to do it again. Those hormones have the effect of boosting our moods, making us feel happier, but they also counteract the effects of cortisol, which is a stress hormone. So if you're feeling stressed, particularly now, but I'd say at any time, do a small act of kindness, and it can be small. I would say that small things are the most important, because we're always able to do them. We can always hold on to the hope that we're able to do a small action, a small act of kindness. And I'm a strong believer in this is how we change the world, with all of us doing small acts cumulatively. And the news in the last few weeks has kind of proved that. And when I was thinking about this, I was reminded of a story that my friend Pete Sainsbury told me a few years ago when I started out on my kindness journey back in 2011. He told me the story of a man who went to walk on a beach. And as he was walking along the beach, he noticed hundreds and thousands of starfish had washed up onto the beach. And he also saw a little girl, and he noticed that she was picking up a starfish and throwing it back into the sea, and then leaning down, picking up another starfish and throwing it back into the sea. And he thought to himself, well, that's nice, you know, it's very sweet, how lovely of her, but what difference is it really going to make? And so the man went up to the little girl and he said to her, it's really sweet what you're doing, but, you know, what actual difference is going to make? There's hundreds and thousands of starfish on this beach. How are you going to make a difference? And the little girl paused for a moment, bent down, picked up a starfish, threw it back into the sea and said, it made a difference to that one. And I love that story. You've probably no doubt heard it before. But I really like it because it's a good reminder of when we're in a position when we feel overwhelmed, when there's hundreds and thousands of metaphorical starfish stranded on the beach, that we can, by doing one small action, picking up one starfish and throwing it back into the sea, make a difference to somebody. And we're all capable of doing that. And I think that's a really good source of hope. So when all this started and I knew that I wasn't able to do the things I wanted to do because I had to stay indoors, I made 10 handmade cards to my neighbours out of old bits of cardboard and broken books I had hanging around. And I delivered them 10 doors up and 10 doors down. Now, I got replies from 10 of my neighbours, about half. But since then, I've also been left a bunch of flowers on the doorstep, a beautiful bowl of fruit and vegetables, a mysterious brown bag which contained 3 mini bottles of Baileys, a handwritten note and a packet of nougat, which was amazing. And now we all text each other. We've even begun to discuss a post-pandemic garden party. The kindness that I've received from my neighbours, some of whom I didn't even know or not very well at all a couple of weeks ago, has been really astonishing. It's made me feel really hopeful because I feel secure knowing that there are people very nearby ready to help me out and willing to help me out. It was such a buzz doing that. And everyone's been at it, all over the news and in our social media feeds, are stories of people helping each other out in small and not so small ways. And it made me think once again, come on, let's not lament the lack of kindness, the lack of compassion or the lack of community ever again. But let's be kind, let's be compassionate, let's connect with our communities. It's that old saying, be the change we wish to see in the world. And we are seeing that now. So COVID has provided us this huge well of hope. Everyone's doing it. Just look around you. If you're listening and this is all in the distant past, you'll have heard the stories. People are delivering paracetamols to strangers in need after seeing a random Facebook post. On our street, somebody gave a man a TV because his had broken and he posted it on Facebook that he really, really wanted to watch TV. There are lots of people helping now who might not have had the chance or the opportunity to do so before, who found a profound happiness and sense of purpose. And the rows are already doing it who've been encouraged by the overwhelming kindness of strangers. I wanted to hear a bit more about this. So I spoke with Dawn Atkinson, who runs the Evelyn Community Store in Deptford, which is very near my house. And coming up is our chat. Again, please excuse the less than perfect quality, as we were both speaking in quite cramped and strange quarters. But I hope you like it. So, first of all, could you just tell me your name and a bit about you and what you do?
Yeah. So, my name's Dawn Atkinson. I'm one of the volunteers at the community store, Evelyn Community Store. I'm the secretary of the on the committee here. Gosh, what do we do here? What don't we do actually at the moment? We come in, we at the moment it's very different for us, as you can imagine. So we're running around shopping for food because there's a limitation on.
Could I just ask you to start with Dawn? So when, just going back to when the community store sort of set up pre-COVID.
Yes, yeah.
Could you just talk a little bit about that just to sort of put it into context. So
So we had a lovely, nice little routine. So Monday morning, someone would come in to the store, clean it, ready for opening on Tuesday, do the stock taking, turn over frozen stock, things like that. So we had a really good, very good system. We were very aware of stock that we needed. We'd get our list from Fair Share on a Monday. Of food that we were collecting, so we could replenish everything. On Tuesdays, we'd come in, normally quite early, because Keith, who's the chair of the Evelyn Community Store, on a Monday night, would pick up a surplus order from Tesco's, which was amazing. So we always had lots of fresh food. And on a Tuesday, sorry.
The way it works is that, so it's not a food bank, is it? Or
no, it's not. No, it's a very different model to a food bank. So members pay £3.50 a week. That is only for food they get on a Tuesday. So pre-COVID, we might have surplus food during the week as well. And that was all, that's free. That's free to the members. So they would only literally pay £3.50 on a Tuesday, which we'd hope would manifest turn into about £20-30 worth of shopping.
Amazing. And that's, and that was surplus food from supermarkets, was it? And
We used to get surplus from Tesco's, Waitrose. Tesco's have now stopped our surplus on a Monday night. We are, the last couple of weeks, actually, Waitrose have been amazing, and we have had surplus from them. Via, I don't know if you know or are aware of Neighbourly. Neighbourly's basically joins all the big supermarkets together. So if they have surplus, it goes on there for their charities. So people can kind of join up to that. So via Neighbourly, we'd often get a lot from Marks and Spencer's as well. And occasionally from Asda, whereas obviously now, after COVID, we don't get the surplus from Tesco's. Waitrose have been amazing, and sometimes there is still some stuff from Marks and Spencer's as well.
So that's great. So, so through, you know, an affordable amount of money, people are able to get a sort of weekly shop.
Oh, yes, yeah. I mean, we can't predict what we do get, but we do try to make sure they've got the basics for cooking a few meals. So if we haven't had a supply of rice and pasta, which now is gold dust, we would have always gone up and tried to ourselves just stock up on those bits ourselves. So rice and pasta with some sauces to go with that. We'd always try to have in as like a basic standard meal for people.
I just wondered, from sort of your perspective, given you set up this amazing thing and then we've had this kind of unprecedented situation.
Yeah.
How, first of all, if you could just talk a little bit about how you've, in terms of the community that you serve as a sort of resource, how you think that this pandemic has impacted and affected them?
So our members, actually the ITN News was ITV News, I should say, was here last week, and one of our members, Lloyd, actually spoke to them, and I think he probably put it better than I ever could, and like talking about when he used to come in before on a Tuesday, he was made to feel very welcome. We had the tables out so you could sit and have a cup of coffee. We'd often have cakes and biscuits. So we built, so we've been operating for just over a year now. So we really built up a small community within a community and brought, gosh, all different kinds of people together. So, you know, people who would see each other in the street might say hello, but actually probably didn't talk to each other, and they've really come together. So we, that of course now we can't do that, we can't welcome people in the same way, and you know, there's no cups of coffee or tea, so anybody, a lot of our members are quite isolated anyway, you know, socially isolated, so coming out here once a week was a real highlight for them. Sitting and having a chat, even if it was about nothing, or having a game of, sometimes we have games of dominoes or cards set out. So, of course, that's all stopped for them. So that's a real side, I think, where they are feeling the effects of that now. And, of course, you see the stories in the news about people rushing out and stockpiling. And, of course, our members just don't have the funds themselves to do that. So, you know, they go in and queuing, a lot of them can't queue with, so it's become incredibly difficult for them, I think, really hit them very hard.
It's really important for everybody to be aware of that. So there's a couple of sort of really important things I think you said there. One is that actually company and community and just having a cuppa is super important and a thing that we've learned to appreciate. But also the awareness, as you said, that not everyone can stockpile, you know, plenty of people I know and me can't really do a sort of giant shop in, you know, in 1 week. So in terms of that, just in terms of sort of asking for people to help, how do you think we could all change our behaviour to sort of help each other a bit better? Is it just simply not hoarding, or what would you say would help?
Yeah, I think starting point is not hoarding, because, you know, I mean, it's quite incredible. I'd go in the supermarket when I was buying stuff for myself and seeing people's trolleys with like five lots of loo roll. I can't understand that, but that does have an impact on the wider community. So that little old man or old lady that's going there, you know, once a week for the shop, or some, I mean, my mum and dad go almost daily because they don't like storing lots of food. So they would almost do, in their local community up north, do it almost daily because they don't like to have lots of food in the house as such. So that then has a real impact on them, on the most vulnerable. They don't have big places. I certainly don't, you know, have big pantries where you can put all this. And then, of course, the shelves are empty of those essential items that, you know, are most vulnerable and elderly really do need it at these times, just as any other time, really.
It was interesting how, you know, I was chatting to my sister about it, because obviously she has a perspective, as you all know, as a sort of psychiatric professional, and sort of talking about how that's a sort of fear response, and hopefully people have will start to relax a little bit now.
Yes,
they don't have to build their own toilet roll mountain, actually.
and I suppose we can all understand that fear a little bit, can't we? Because, you know, it is fearful at the moment. Everybody is. You know, it has had a real impact on people. But actually, it would be nice if everyone took a deep breath and thought, actually, you know, the shelves now are almost kind of back to normal, I think, aren't they? So
no, it's extraordinary. We've been so well served, I think. And I think you're right. I think it feels really important to, when we see that sort of behaviour and we think, oh, that's so mean or whatever, that actually to try and respond to that compassionately as well, because some of those people would just be scared. And
absolutely,
their way of responding to fear is buying loads of cans of beans or whatever, isn't it?
So and also, you know, it does have a, you know, we don't know backgrounds of people. So, you know, for some people that we know, actually, that's one thing they never had in their childhood was lots of food. So they do have a few tins in because they never did when they were younger, for whatever reason it might be. So I suppose the brush goes both ways, doesn't it?
We have to sort of try and be a bit gentler with each other, I think. And on that subject, Dawn, because I think I've seen, I can't remember where, it might have been one of your lovely social media posts, that you've been very sort of encouraged and moved by kindness as well.
Oh, gosh.
The other side of it. And you know that's really important to me, to kind of share those stories as well, because I think it helps us to keep faith in each other and to keep faith in our ability to look after each other. I just wondered if you could share any of the particular things that you thought, wow, that was so amazing.
It's never ending, actually, here at the moment. Do you know, I'm almost, last week I spent, between me and you and the Garden Post, I spent last Wednesday crying because of all the kindness that was just pouring to, you know, to us all. And that actually hasn't stopped. It has been really overwhelming. It really has. So on one young guy every Tuesday, and I think he comes on a Friday as well, drops off a small bundle of goods for us. One very small, simple thing, he comes in with whatever, you know, he's been able to buy for us. It's little things like that, but it's also the big things. So there's a local bakery just on Creekside called Bread and Butler, who were already before this were donating some lovely bread and buns to us, almost weekly, actually, sometimes a couple of times a week. But since all this, they themselves have had to change how they deal, you know, and I've gone to a delivery online delivery service only. But they go out of their way now to deliver freshly baked bread to us, just for us. And they've also, on their website, when people are ordering, they've added a donation so that people can make donations to us to the store. So, I know, it's absolutely incredible. So we had, yesterday they turned up with lots of fresh goods and tinned goods for us, So that was amazing. But then it's like the gentleman turned up on Tuesday, our store day, with a bag of goods for us, but also an envelope with some cash for the store. So it's actually overwhelming. And two young girls on Tuesday turned up with bags of toilet roll and some tinned goods. And one of the girls had it in a huge rucksack in her bag, on her backpack, that she'd carried from, I think she said, Hilly Fields. So, you know, it's just little things like this. So we are getting a constant stream of people wanting to come in and give us goods at the moment. So that, it's so heartwarming to see. It just, that this community is really pulling together like that. It's incredible. It really is. It's quite heartwarming. So when we talk about the fear and people stockpiling, and I suppose that's a kind of sense where people do think about just themselves. But then on the other side, that we are seeing these most amazing acts of kindness and generosity that's outpouring to, you know, to our members, to our little store.
Has that surprised you, Dawn?
I'm surprised almost by everything at the moment. But yes, it has. But I don't know why, really, because when we reach out, the local community has supported us. So at Christmas, we put on a Christmas party for our members, and, you know, the amount of response that we got from places and the generosity that they gave to us as well, you know, IKEA giving us things, and, you know, a pub in Forgotten in Hither Green, and so things like this. So it surprises me, but actually that kindness has always been there. I think we're perhaps a little bit bogged down by everyday life sometimes to take real stock of it till moments like this.
Do you know, Dawn, I wonder as well, I think about this a lot, whether it's about, I'm going to talk about this in another episode actually, but about the way the stories we're told about each other, which is why I think it's important to hear these. Because actually the news recently has changed dramatically in that lots of positive stories are being told. But usually the news is only about negative things. And I think because of that, the gradual effect that has on all of us is imagining that we're not very nice.
Yes. You know what I mean? I think you're right, yes.
Yeah. And it's wonderful. And also, do you feel that, and I don't know how I heard you say that you have relatives in the north and stuff, do you know or do you feel that this sort of beautiful community response is being replicated all over the country?
I'd like to think so, yes. I do. I think you can... there are lots of little groups on Facebook, or perhaps not so little on Facebook groups, and you hear of other communities having their own WhatsApp groups so that they are ensuring those needy and the vulnerable are looked after. And I do believe that is, you know, all across the country, you know, not just here in our own little community. And that's actually, that's got to be the story of all this, hasn't it, really, you know, of how we have come together and just built those relationships and friendships again. Because I think what you said is absolutely true, that before the news was so negative. It was, I mean, before, you know, I mean, it was non-stop negative stories and attacks on individuals and people, whereas now it has really changed, and it's incredible, you know. I mean, the clapping for the NHS. I'd never thought the pizza state would do that, and yet there they are. So it really is. Just, I mean, I cry at most things, but honestly, it is overwhelming, and I think you're right. That is, you know, the kindness that we are seeing and the generosity in our community should be the ongoing story and result of all this.
Absolutely. One thing I sort of really wanted to sort of, in addition to that, sort of connected to that story, actually, Dawn, for you personally, I'm sort of interested in, I think we've got a massive opportunity here to say, look what is possible, look what we've achieved, look what we've done. The whole range of that, from people supporting each other, from the air being less polluted, you know, the whole range of things. And for you personally, of the changes that you've witnessed or the shifts that you've witnessed, are there any changes that have happened as a result of COVID, acknowledging that there are lots of difficulties and challenges, of course, but are there any sort of positive changes that you would like, you would personally like to keep hold of, so that when it's over, it's actually this stays, this change?
I think it is that, I mean, people used to talk about having a community and sense of community, but I don't know if it actually really meant anything to anybody pre-COVID-19. I'm not sure, you know, the previous government used to talk a lot, didn't they, about the big community, the big society. I don't know if we really ever felt it until now. And that sense of, you know, I mean, I grew up north, and so we did know our neighbours, and, you know, all us kids would play out in the fields together. And, of course, that's, we are in a different era now. But that sense of looking out for our neighbours and taking care, and even having the time to say hello to somebody, means so much now. You know, just reaching out to people. We never really did that. We were all so busy with our lives that for me, that's what I want to see going forward, that sense of caring for each other, knowing your neighbours, and actually reaching out, do you need me to get you something? Not just in the winter when, you know, we know our elderly and those who, you know, aren't so steady on their feet can't get out, but actually all year round I'm popping to the shops, can I get you anything? You know, that real sense of looking out for each other, I want that to continue.
I think there's a really strong chance. I feel optimistic about the chances of that continuing because people have got great pleasure from it. You know, people are enjoying it. And I think it helps when people enjoy it because it's a motivation to continue. My neighbours, Dawn, have been amazing. As you know, I've been pretty cautious because I've got asthma. So I don't...
Yes.
On every day, there's some sort of present left on the doorstep.
Oh, how nice.
And we've all got each other's... You know, I've always been quite connected to the community, as you know, but... That's sort of extended, and we're really enjoying it, like leaving writing each other daft notes, and it's really sweet.
It's amazing, isn't it? And it just makes you feel like, oh wow, and that nice, it just generates such good feeling. So hey, here's hoping.
So in relation to that, sort of not to sort of switch you to a negative way of thinking, but I think another interesting thing that I'm sort of want to ask everyone is, a friend of mine about 10 days ago, she said, oh, it's really useful to, she said a really nice thing she'd been doing is just keeping an empty jar. She said it was her empty pasta jar. every time she thought of something that she missed, that she wasn't able to do at the moment, you know, really simple thing like going to see her mum. Keeping it in a jar, which she called her jar of hope and dreams, and that just to sort of remind herself of the sort of little things that she's missed so that she can remember. And I just wondered if you've missed anything that you'd like to.
God. Yes, lots, actually. Going up north and seeing my family is a big one. My mum was ill just before Christmas, so actually doing that, I never thought I would miss that long drive, but I do. They're up in Yorkshire, so all my family are up there. So, you know, just getting in the car and going to visit them, that I really miss. I never thought I would, but I really do. Going to the beach, actually, going to the beach or an art gallery. My partner and I, we used to, on a weekend, go out and perhaps go to one of the art galleries or an exhibition and then go for a nice glass of something afterwards. And honestly, I can't tell you how much I miss that at the moment. Or going to the cinema, you know, something as basic as that. There's lots of stuff. Going for a very long walk, driving to one, because we've got so much beautiful countryside around us, and meeting up with my friends. And we used to do a lot of walking together. So we'd meet up, drive and meet up at a central point, and then do a walk that somebody had mapped out. And I really miss that. Really, really miss that at the moment. So there's quite a lot, actually. I think I'm going to take that idea on board and start that.
Because actually what's nice is it reminds you that actually our deep really meaningful pleasures are simple ones.
You know, yes,
going visiting our mums and going for a walk with our friends and having a cup of coffee or a glass of wine or whatever it is, they're not, you know, it's not, as I said to my sister, it's not climbing Everest. So it's really lovely to remind ourselves, I think, to appreciate those beautiful little things.
Absolutely. You know, just popping down and down to the beach, you know. I mean, I know we're in London, so it's not exactly a little pop down, but, you know, those little things. Or you know, jumping in the car to go and drive to see my friends for the day. They're like... miss that so much. So yes, it is really those basic stuff that really you couldn't buy, isn't it? You know, catching up with people with a cup of, you know, a pot of tea, best thing ever. Although everyone who's listening to this will know me and go, no, it's normally a gin, but that's fine.
you can drink out of a teacup as well. So one last thing, Dawn, is another thing that I'm asking everyone is if I was your fairy godmother, imagine that, and I was able to bestow upon you one wish, and that wish could be related to the current circumstances or it could be a more generic wish, and I'd say, absolutely, if you made this wish, I would make sure it came true. What would you wish for?
Oh, gosh, good question. One wish. Well... I think, actually, particularly related to right now, I think the number of people dying, I would want that to stop right now. I really do, particularly as we know most of them are dying alone in hospital, and that must be heartbreaking for, you know, their families and, you know, their loved ones, knowing that they're alone and so ill in hospital. So I think if I had one wish, I would just want this to end right now, no more death, and or at least in such a horrible way, and for this lovely sense of community to continue, this togetherness, actually. That's a double wish, but I'm being greedy.
I think it's really important for us all to look kind of squarely at it all. We've lost these things and they're awful, and that's a loss, and there's grief in that, but we've also gained these things and they are wonderful, and it's actually all of it, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Wise wish. And the last thing I usually ask people, which might be a little bit difficult, is if you were to take action on your wish, maybe particularly relating to this sort of community thing, keeping together, so... if you were able to do one thing in the next 24 hours to help make your own wish come true, what might that be?
Have never-ending supply of food for our community, for our members, really. So I could make sure that no matter what the circumstances were, however long this goes on for, that actually they can feel secure. So even if we can't get out, so we're isolating, that actually they know that hunger that many of them have felt for a long time is ended.
That's brilliant. And Dawn, just for the listeners, do you want to let me know how people can help and where they can contact you or any social, anything you want to say?
Thank you. So we do have a Facebook page, which is Evelyn Community Store. We're also on Twitter at Store Evelyn. So you can contact us via that. So we are here on a usually Monday, Tuesday and Friday. We are trying to, or in the process of setting up a Just Giving page as well. So I might be able to advertise that on Twitter and Facebook in the near future. Yeah, so we're in Deptford in Kingfisher Square, which is just off Edward Street, in the community centre there, in Evelyn Community Centre.
It's been so lovely to chat to you. And when I'm less... housebound, I shall come and see you.
Please do.
We can have a cup of gin. I mean a tea.
and cake.
Yes.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Lots of love, darling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. lovely dawn, I sat in the garden doing a bit of tidying up in my garden, and my neighbour was in his garden, and the both of us stood still for a moment and we listened to our neighbours a couple of fences over, who were singing fantastic songs from the 90s. You might be able to hear them a little bit in the background. It was really lovely, and it made me think of how more connected we've all got through these little notes that we've been dropping around for each other, through these gifts that we've been exchanging, through these offers of help, and how those are incredibly hopeful things, and those things, as Dawn said, are replicated all over the country, in fact all over the world, and all of those are tiny seeds of hope which have the potential to grow into a much brighter future, you know. Feels like a really lovely, beautiful thing that's happened. All these connections made, all these kindnesses, all this generosity, all these acts of courage, all these great jokes, silly videos, immense creativity, and just lovely community spirit is very, very encouraging and gives us all great reason to be hopeful about the future. And because I like to sort of always leave a little action challenge, I always ask people what they wish for, because I think it's a good way of revealing what your heart really yearns for, what you really yearn for. But of course, the sort of hope that I'm thinking about isn't just wishful thinking, it's active. Hope requires us to take action. And so I'd like to invite you to take an action, and in the next 24 hours, in the spirit of this week's episode, which has been about reaching out and helping others and how that helps us, just do one thing in the next 24 hours. It doesn't have to cost very much, it doesn't have to take much time, it doesn't even have to take an enormous amount of effort. Just something to put a smile on someone else's face. That could be phoning someone you haven't phoned for a long time, making a nice message, or painting a rainbow to stick in the window of your house, leaving a packet of biscuits out for the dustbin man, dropping a note round to your neighbours, anything, just one small thing in the next 24 hours. And then imagine those times by all the 60 plus million people, however many it is now, that live in this country, and all of the however many billions of people that live in the world. And that's how we change the world. And that is our tiny revolution. And next week, I'm going to be talking about how we can take care of ourselves and find hope for ourselves in all of this. So thank you very much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I'll speak to you next time. Bye.